God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from John 14. All this I have spoken while I was with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world does. Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Dear friends in Christ, wind, fire, and life-giving words are what Pentecost is all about. The wind and tongues of fire were unique to that first Pentecost. They were the pyrotechnics, sort of like fireworks and balloons at a grand opening. For this was the grand opening of the church, the body of Christ. Some call Pentecost the church's birthday, and in a general sense, that's correct. Pentecost was the day the gospel was first proclaimed to all the different peoples gathered in Jerusalem and was believed on by thousands. But in a narrower sense, Pentecost is not quite the church's birthday. Remember how God put Adam and Eve into a deep sleep, took a rib from Adam's wounded side, and formed a bride for Adam named Eve. In the same way, God caused his son Jesus to fall asleep in death on the cross on Good Friday. And from Jesus' wounded side, he formed a bride for his son, the church. Good Friday is technically the church's birthday. But in a general sense, we'll call Pentecost the church's grand opening. In fact, there already was a church on earth before Pentecost. Our text tells us that there were 120 believers, including the 12 disciples. Remember, Matthias had replaced Judas, Mary, the mother of our Lord, along with Jesus' brothers and others, were all gathered in one place. A congregation of about 120. On that day, the entire one holy Christian and apostolic church were able to fit in that large upper room, the entire church on earth. But God was about to franchise his church into all the world, beginning with the big Pentecost event that took place this day. The word penta means 50, and in the Old Testament, Pentecost occurred 50 days after the Passover. And on Pentecost Day, God's people would bring in the first fruits of the winter wheat harvest. Not only that, but the Jewish rabbis tell us that it was on Pentecost, 50 days after the first Passover in Egypt, that God gave his words to Moses on Mount Sinai. So bring those two events together. Jesus doesn't miss a symbolic beat, does he? 50 days after Jesus' Passover from death to life, when he rose again on Easter morning, he now begins to gather the first fruits, not of a winter wheat harvest, but of the harvest of believers in Jesus. By doling out to the world, just like he did on Mount Sinai, the word of God, the good news that Jesus dropped dead for our sins on the cross, and everyone is included in his all-forgiving death. 50 days after Christ's Passover from death to life on Easter morning, Jesus breathes on his church and baptizes her with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Remember on Easter Sunday when the risen Savior came into the upper room where 10 of the disciples were gathered, and he breathed on them his Holy Spirit. That was a little Pentecost. And Jesus harvested those 10 disciples that Easter evening as a sort of first fruits of the great resurrection harvest. He harvested them with the life-giving words of God, that he was risen from the dead in defeat of our sins and defeat of our death. And what that means is peace be with you. And that's what he told them. Everything is set right between us and God. We're reconciled to God in the death of his son. Peace be with you. Now, 50 days later, Jesus breathes on the 120 disciples that were gathered in the upper room to kick off a bigger Pentecost. We're told there was a mighty rushing wind, like the whirlwind from which God spoke to Job. But in this heavenly hurricane, nothing is destroyed. The walls don't come tumbling down. The roof isn't blown off. This is a gospel life-giving wind. This wind is the breathed out Spirit of God to let others in on the good news that everyone is included in Jesus' death and resurrection. We're told that tongues of fire came down upon them. That's the fire of the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer. Remember, John the Baptist said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, that's fulfilled now on this day. In the Old Testament, God reminded his people that he was with them through a pillar of fire in the wilderness. Jesus spoke to Moses in the burning bush, but the bush was not destroyed. It was a safe fire. We're told that there was fire on Mount Sinai when God delivered his life-giving words to Moses, and Moses was not harmed. So here again on Pentecost, this is a gospel fire, a life-giving fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of every believer, poured out upon those 120 believers, and they're not harmed at all, they're not burned up, not a hair of their heads is singed. This is a life-giving fire representing the gracious presence of God and his Holy Spirit within them. And with the wind and fire come words. Spirit-filled, life-giving, sin-forgiving, death-raising words given to the church to believe and to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is in the delivery business. The Holy Spirit is sort of the UPS man or the FedEx person of the Holy Trinity, taking the all-forgiving words of Jesus and delivering them to us. You are forgiven. You are raised to life in Jesus. Jesus already hung dead on a cross for our salvation. The Father already said the whole world is reconciled to him in the death of Jesus. But you have to be told personally, so that you can believe personally that you're included in Jesus' salvation. Otherwise, the cross of Jesus is of no benefit. And that's where the Holy Spirit and God's Word comes in, to deliver to you personally and to deliver Jesus to potential resurrectees personally, the good news. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said." The big gift of Pentecost is not the wind and the fire. That's just the pyrotechnics. It's the Spirit-filled words and the life-giving breath or Spirit of God, who gives us spiritual mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to sinners through the good news. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sins. Those words enliven you. They effect what they say. As you hear them, you are cleansed through a pastor or a Christian's vocal cords. When you and I share Jesus, we are breathing life-giving words, either on dead unbelievers are on those despairing in their sin, and we're giving them personal mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Take and eat, take and drink. for the forgiveness of your sins. And dead unbelievers or despairing believers rise to new life. In our Old Testament lesson, we heard about the city of Babel, where God confused man's words. You see, at Babel, those who were blowing off God wanted to build a great city with a tower reaching into the heavens. In other words, they wanted to get into heaven by their own works, by the performance plan. They wanted to be their own little gods and make a name for themselves, rather than getting into heaven on God's terms, which is the pardon plan, the forgiveness plan, the cross of Jesus. And they didn't want to live under God and his kingdom. So God came down and confused their language, actually for their own good. The story of Babel is a reminder that man does not build the city of God. Only God does, and only on his terms. And his terms are repentance of your sins and mine, and faith in the crucified Savior. That's the only way that anyone becomes a part of the city of God, the bride of Christ. So God confused their language that ancient day in Babel, where sinners were building the city of man. God took their nouns and verbs into protective custody. Never again would all nations be one people with one language until we get back to heaven. And God did that for their good, to make it harder on us to kill ourselves out of rebellion against God. But now on this day, Pentecost, God does a Babel in reverse. The Spirit enabled the disciples to speak the singular good news that everyone is forgiven because the Son of God bled to death on a cross one Good Friday. The Spirit enabled the disciples to speak that singular good news in many languages all at once, and everyone heard the good news in their own language. Parthians, Medes, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Elamites, mosquito bites, tick bites, you name it. Everyone heard the mighty works of God for their salvation in their own words. The gospel's for you. And as Luther says, the words for you require all hearts to believe. You are included in the death of Jesus. This Jesus who is for all, who lived for all, who bore the sins of all, who died for all, who forgave all, who rose for all, and who will raise up all on the last day, is personally for you. Placed into the manger of God's words in our own language for you to hear and believe in Jesus. You've been given the Holy Spirit at your personal Pentecost, which happened when you were baptized, letting you know that you, the sinner, died with Christ, even though the nails went through his body, and you, the sinner, dead in Jesus' death, are now raised to new life, made a new creation, raised with Christ from death to life, and risen to die no more in Jesus. Your baptism is your Pentecost. And now that you're included in crucified and risen Jesus, your primary vocation is to let the whole world know that they're included in the crucified and risen Jesus. Don't say you can't do it, but in repentance, admit that you're refusing to do it, and then turn from that sin. Remember, 50 days before Pentecost, Peter was a wimp. He wouldn't even let a little servant girl know that he knew Jesus. But now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, even on threat of death, Peter confesses, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead." What changed Peter? Two things: the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit convincing Peter through the word that of what Christ's resurrection means, because I live, you will live also. And you have both of those. You have the bodily resurrection of Jesus too. And you have the Holy Spirit living in you by faith, convincing you of the significance of Christ's resurrection. So Peter preached and said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Pentecost is actually the beginning of the end times. The first fruits of that final harvest that God is in the process of gathering. The clock is ticking. Nothing more needs to be done for the salvation of the world, except for people to hear it and believe it. It's the church's role that they hear it, and it's the Holy Spirit's job that they believe it. Nothing you can add to or take away from what has already been accomplished by Jesus' death and resurrection. Father, forgive them. It is finished. Christ died for all. Christ has risen. Christ is reigning, and the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and make it known unto you, and then the end will come. As we celebrate Graduate Recognition Sunday this Sunday, I want to remind our graduate, Josh England, that life is a gift of God, to be enjoyed to the max and live to the fullest, to the glory of God. But you must never forget that what life is finally all about is not about living comfortably or building your own little kingdom or Babel on earth. Life is finally all about going home to heaven, to live with God forever in paradise that is greater than you ever dared to dream, all yours, free of charge, because of Christ forgiving death. And then secondly, to take as many people home to heaven with you as possible. That, Josh, is what life is finally all about. The church is God's end times chosen people. We've been brought through the divided waters of our baptismal Red Sea. The work that is going on now is a harvesting work that began with the harvest of 3,000 believers on that first Pentecost. In one day, the church went from 120 to over 3,100 believers in one day, all through the powerful, life-giving, spirit-filled words of God proclaimed by ordinary people like you and me. The key to Pentecost is not the pyrotechnics, the wind and the fire. Even fireworks can get old when you see it every day. Just ask the folks living next to Disney World. The wind and the fire are like the balloons and fireworks at a grand opening. This was the grand opening of the church. But grand openings are not business as usual. Business as usual is not the wind and the fire, it's the word of God. When the wind and fire came upon those disciples, what did they do? They proclaimed the word of God. That's business as usual in the church. And Peter said, God raised up this Jesus whom you crucified and made him both Lord and Christ. He raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, how then can we be saved? And Peter did not say, you need to build a tower to heaven, or you need to speak in tongues. No, he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is your Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit lets you in on the good news, and he still does through his word, that you're forgiven in the death of Jesus, and that God has replaced Babel's tower, the performance plan, with Calvary's cross, the forgiveness plan, and has breathed upon you the good news that you're alive, forever alive, even in your dying body, because Jesus is forever alive and cannot die again. Amen.